Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, not here today. Junie Riddle, in for her. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. The reporter, hope you are having a wonderful Friday. We made it to the end of the week, and a lot of people coming into our city. Janet Jackson last night at Bridgestone Arena, and there's some big concert taking place at Nissan Stadium over the next 3 days. It's a local act, right, Junie? It's somebody that's from here.
Yeah, they're playing at Basement East. That's what I heard.
Oh, okay, Basement East. All right. Yes, Taylor Swift is who we're referring to. She, of course, will be at Nissan Stadium returning to Nashville, and so it should be awesome. But a lot of people are going to be in our city, so if you've come into town and you're checking us out for the first time, welcome. We hope to have a lot of fun over the course of the next 2 hours. We will, of course, continue the discussion of the, I guess, perceived quarterback battle, however you want to put it, with the Tennessee Titans, with Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis. We'll also get into the NBA and NHL playoffs because I've enjoyed it. I don't know how many people are watching, but I've enjoyed both. I'm really getting into it. It's been nice to have that going on, and it's the first time in a long time that I haven't had a playoff series to cover with the Predators, and so I've been able to really be a fan and just sit back and watch. And LeBron versus Steph, the Splash Brothers, that is compelling television. And then we'll talk to Dave Tully from VSiN, a betting analyst for them, about the NHL, NBA, and the Kentucky Derby coming up this weekend. But, Junie, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Nothing much, man. Just having a really good week, you know, staying busy, watching all this NFL draft recap. I think a lot of it's super interesting, especially here in town. And you know, you, Taylor Swift, coming to town. My sister's going to be in town for the concert, and I was going to save this for the show. I have grown up with hearing my little sister sing Taylor Swift in the car on the way to school my entire life. I will never forget when the Fearless album dropped and how annoyed and how much I would scream at her in the back seat to shut up because I was getting so sick of Taylor Swift. But I know you are a big Taylor Swift fan, so I know you're excited. But good week. It's still a good week. I'm not the biggest fan of Taylor Swift, but I'll get over it.
Listen, people that have listened to me over the years know that there's a little bit of a thing there that I do like some T-Swift. And so, yeah, I'm going tonight. I will admit it to the audience. I'm going. I am excited about it. And there will be a full report on Monday.
Here's what hurts me, Chase, is yesterday on the show, you kind of gave a subtle diss to brunch. And yet at the same time, you talk about your love for Taylor Swift. And I just think both of those things could get swapped out because brunch is amazing.
No, I wasn't giving a subtle – no, there was no diss to brunch. I'm pro-brunch. I was just saying that I feel like people – there's like a stereotype that a bunch of dudes can't go to brunch together. And so, like, I don't get to go to – I don't go to brunch because I'm not – see, you're married, so you can do brunch whenever you want. I don't have that – I'm single, and so sometimes I'll go with, like, girlfriends, but it's like, you know, Chase and Rick aren't going to brunch together. That's all it was.
The narrative has to be changed.
I agree. A discussion started on Twitter, and now there's a group of us that we might actually go. So
can I be invited to that?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
I would most certainly attend. I think brunch is the greatest thing. Get a few mimosas. It's not like you're going out and partying. Breakfast food is one of the best food categories out there. So I think brunch is highly underrated, and for anyone that says that it is a female dominated thing to go to brunch, I'm sorry. Like this is 2023. Brunch is great. I don't care who you are. I don't care what sex you are. It's amazing, and it's for everybody. So I just had to put that out there after yesterday.
I agree. I agree with you 100% because I am very pro brunch. So I am all about it. So we have to make that happen. We'll get a little like Nashville media group brunch. And make it happen. I think that could be really cool. But I know you obviously will be on tomorrow for Michelle and Junie, but glad you're here today. And I know you've had a lot of thoughts on this whole quarterback discussion. Ryan Tannehill spoke earlier in the week for the Titans and what this means for him moving forward. I gave my thoughts that, you know, I could tell from his body language and stuff. I mean, this is a tough time for him. I mean, he kind of, I think, sees the writing on the wall that now it's 2 years in a row they've drafted a quarterback, but, you know, drafting Will Levis where they did, the thought is he is the potential replacement for Ryan Tannehill. I heard Robbie as the end of the show, you know, they're referencing Alex Smith and his last year in Kansas City, and they knew Mahomes was going to take over and all of that. But I'm curious of your thoughts of where this team sits now with the most important position on the field.
I mean, I think they're in a good spot with it. I mean, they have a multitude of options, which, you know, in the scheme of things, options is a good thing. And you want to do what's best for the football team. And when you have a guy like Ryan Tannehill, and you know, like Robbie had mentioned, he brought up the whole Alex Smith to Mahomes thing, and I don't think that this transition is going to be as seamless as that, obviously, because, I mean, Mahomes is already considered, with what he's done so far in the league, one of the greatest quarterbacks that we've ever seen. But, you know, Tannehill's a serviceable starter. He didn't have a bad year last year. He can go out and play. He can go out and win games. And Will Levis is a developmental guy that, you know, maybe you want to see a little bit of him this year. Maybe you don't. And you know, we'll kind of get into that and debate that topic, you know, throughout the show. But, you know, I just think this is a really good spot for the Titans to get Will Levis after dropping into the second round. He was a perennial first-round talent that I thought should have went inside the top 10. That is my opinion. I've been steadfast in faith on Will Levis and his pro potential from the beginning of draft talk. So
you think he could be a steal?
Oh, I mean, I think he is a steal. I mean, you get a guy that ESPN had a 92% chance to go in the top 10. You get him in the second round and only give up a third round pick. I thought it was absolutely a steal. I mean, Levis was my QB2 all year long behind C.J. Stroud. I think he has better pro potential than a guy like Bryce Young because of his size, athleticism, his arm talent. If you can just coach some of those mistakes out of the way, I really think that he can be a really good quarterback. And I think a lot of people are sleeping on that fact because, what is it? Most people in Tennessee see Will Levis for what he is in the Tennessee game. And that was his worst game. And I think, you know, when Jared had Matt Jones come on the other day, which I think was an excellent interview that you should go back and listen to, Matt Jones said he didn't even think that Will Levis should have played in that game, and the only reason he did was to give his team somewhat of a chance against a perennial top 10 team like Tennessee. So I just think that all the negativity surrounding him is just a little extra. I think people need to pipe down and really look at all the intangibles that surrounded Will Levis this past year in 2022.
Yeah, and I feel like the Titans are doing that. And I know Mike Vrabel's kind of referenced that. Rand Carthon's referenced that. You know, Vrabel talked about on our show Tuesday when he was on about sitting with Will Levis during the pre-draft process and going through his mistakes, which I like that because, I mean, you're going to learn more about a guy of how he handles his failures than you are his successes. So I think that's a really good strategy, and I know that they probably do that with everybody, but that was something that really stood out to me. But our question of the day is, would fans rather see Tannehill start this year with what they have weapons-wise or go to Will Levis and make a move for a significant wide receiver and add a significant wideout? Because I'm going to say this. I hear people go, well, go trade for – there's all these names out there that could potentially get moved before the start of the regular season. Love that idea. What are you trading? You don't have a lot of draft picks next year because of previous moves that have been made. So you don't have a lot to work with when it comes to making a move for a wide receiver. It's harder than you think. You're really probably stuck getting somebody off the scrap heap that's out there right now, or maybe another veteran that could be released between now and training camp. But I think if you make a move, you would probably have to give up a veteran on the other end, and I don't know if a team's wanting to unload a receiver, are they going to really want to take something back?
I mean, that could be the case, but also just looking at, you know, quarterback needy teams, I think of the Washington Commanders, I think of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, the Arizona Cardinals are likely going to start the year and maybe, you know, more than half of the year not have Kyler Murray. So what could be is, you know, these teams are obviously not in a position to contend at the moment and could use a bridge style veteran quarterback, and they also have really talented receivers that could be traded. So I look at this as, you know, Tannehill, and his cap hit isn't crazy. I think he's more of a bargain quarterback now that we've seen a lot more of these younger guys getting paid. But with that being said, you know, the Titans aren't great in with their cap situation, and they do have the potential to unload a Ryan Tannehill, which would free up some cap space, which, you know, could bring in a little bit more talent on this team that could significantly help. So it is a good conversation, and I think there is a lot of good points. And I've been listening to the station and listening to everybody's perspectives on it, listen to other people's perspective around town about what they think about this whole, you know, quote-unquote QB controversy. And I feel like I finally kind of came to a consensus of where I am and where I would like to stand on this topic.
Well, let's continue this discussion. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can call or text. Wes, you're going to be in the on-deck circle coming up next. Because my thing is, I think this defense is going to be too good for them to go into complete tank mode. So why not just stick with what you have and see what happens? We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, Junie Riddle in for Michelle today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And I know this isn't likely with the receivers and everything they have around him, but what if he does have a really, really good year? Do you think it makes the Titans think twice, or they've already made up their mind?
I think based on the allocation of resources, you know, it would take him having a really, really good year paired with Levis not showing much developmental stuff, paired with Tannehill not finding much of a market for something to happen. But there's too much unknown at this point in time. I would think their plan is very strongly for a big transition next year away from Tannehill and away from Henry. And on to a Will Levis, Tajay Spears, led offense, and that they're positioned themselves for that with this draft at the expense of some other things that were, for frankly, more immediate needs, obviously, particularly a wide receiver. And, you know, even I'm not comparing Levis in any way to Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, we've seen other good quarterbacks. I think Alex Smith had a pretty good year in his last year, and that didn't change the long-term plan for Kansas City when they drafted a guy that they were really confident in going forward.
That was Paul Kaharsky yesterday on our show talking about everything going on with the Titans and the moves that they made. Chase McCabe, Junie Riddle, who's in for Michelle Knezevic today. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos with the T-Swift. Like it. I ask this, Junie, with this entire conversation. I mean, I know there are a lot of fans that basically are like, get rid of Tannehill, turn the keys over to Levis, and let's just move on. But with the defense the way it is, I still think this is going to be a pretty darn good defense. Kurt, do you agree?
I actually don't. Okay, I personally don't think that this defense is going to be as good as people think. I think, you know, the fact that this secondary was ranked 32nd in the NFL last year. You know, Christian Fulton and Amani Hooker, are they going to be healthy? Is Roger McCreary going to take that next step? Inside linebacker is also a huge question for me. You know, Monty Rice doesn't have the volume of starts that I would like. You know, Azeez Al-Shaair has never been a full-time starter. He's been more of a rotational piece. So I look at that and you know, what David Long Jr. brought to, you know, kind of the pass coverage in the middle of the field, you know, for short and intermediate passes, the loss of him in the run game and the way that he could kind of, you know, step up and evade run blockers and step up and make the tackle. I think that, you know, this defense last year at its peak was really, really good when you still had Bud Dupree playing at a high level and, you know, obviously Harold Landry got hurt, but I just think that, you know, there's a little bit more holes than what people are thinking about here. And when healthy, they can be really good. But there's still a lot of question marks for me to be confident that this unit is going to be good enough to be able to carry this Titans team to multiple wins like they did early on last year when they were healthy.
Where I feel confident is I believe they have a pass rush. And if you have a pass rush, you can do just about anything. And I know, you know, Bud Dupree being gone, we'll see how big of a loss that's going to be. I mean, because when he was healthy and he was on the field, he was effective. Can Arden Key replace that? That is a question, of course. I love the signing of Arden Key, but can he have the same production? But having Harold Landry back is going to be big. Obviously, you have Jeffrey Simmons, T.R. Tartt. I really love that defensive front. So I'm going to stick with what I said. I feel good about the defense just because they're going to have the pass rush, at least on paper. It would appear that way. So if you have that and then you stick with Tannehill and Henry, who knows what will happen? I mean, is this still a team that can compete for the division, or do you blow, you know, do you try and find a team that needs that one-year quarterback and you go ahead and move Tannehill and go with Levis, maybe keep Henry, and then see what you got? I don't subscribe to that. I think that they need to go ahead and be a united front and say Ryan Tannehill is our guy. He is going to play as the starting quarterback for this team, and we need to just squash all those questions, even though everybody knows Levis is there lurking, but make it similar to what Kansas City did, where everybody knew Alex Smith was going to play one more year with KC, and then they were going to turn it over to Patrick Mahomes, and that's what they did.
So I went ahead, and like I said, I was kind of debating this, you know, hearing all the coverage around town about, you know, this topic. And I made kind of the classic T-chart of the pros and cons. And so the cons of starting Will Levis over Ryan Tannehill are the following. He can be inaccurate at times, and he could do well with learning under Tannehill, kind of like you mentioned with the whole Mahomes and Alex Smith thing that they had going on after the 2017 draft. You could ruin his confidence. You know, he could go out and he could play really bad, and it could kind of sit with him, and it could really kind of affect the way that he grows without, you know, learning and fully understanding the offense. And also, he's coming off an injury with, you know, the Titans' offensive line kind of being more of a patchwork than necessarily going out and get, you know, solidified players that we know that are going to come in and make an immediate impact. And then also, you know, there could be, you know, if the Titans do have an awful season, this could really, you know, maybe the coaching staff gets shaken up a bit. And we know that with rookie quarterbacks, if, you know, you shake up the coaching staff, that's never a really good thing, because what they need is a lot of consistency. But what I found is, Chase, is in this argument, there's actually a lot more pros to starting Will Levis, in my opinion. I'm not saying that he should come out and start week one. I'm not a proponent of that. But to sit here and say that there's the potential that he could come in the middle of the season possibly and take over, I would not doubt that. I mean, he's 23 years old. If he started today and the Colts and Texans start their rookie, he would be the oldest quarterback in the AFC South, and that includes Trevor Lawrence. He played in the same system as college. He has a chip on his shoulder from dropping in the draft. You know, also, this is something that I haven't heard anybody talk about. You know, Derrick Henry's time here is limited. What is the best thing to go along with a rookie quarterback? It's a good running game. You know, a lot of people have been comparing Will Levis to like a Ben Roethlisberger coming out of college. What did Big Ben have when he came into the league early that really helped him? He had Jerome Bettis in that run game with the Steelers defense. And so I just see, like, if Will Levis were to come in and play with Derrick Henry and the offense isn't all on his shoulders, and they know that the defense is going to load the box, that could also really help Will Levis in his development, as well as having a guy like Derrick Henry when he still has some tank in the gas to give for this offense.
When did Ben take over for – was it Tommy Maddox he took over for?
Yeah, so Tommy Maddox started the 2004 season, and I believe he got hurt in the third game of the year when they were playing in Baltimore against the Ravens.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, so look – how'd that turn out?
I mean, they went 13-0 the rest of the year, and they lost in the AFC Championship to the eventual Super Bowl champion Patriots. So
yeah,
so it worked out pretty good. So I just feel like, you know, if you really want to get like an early head start on Will Levis, and on top of that, he doesn't have, you know, a fifth year option being taken in the second round. You know, you save a lot of cap space with Tannehill. We mentioned that in the first segment of today's show, that, you know, you could potentially go out and get other guys. But I just really think that if you put him in an offensive situation that's super run heavy, and he just kind of gets to be a game manager for the first year or two, along with Derrick Henry, and he's getting the load on offense, I don't see how that couldn't help a young guy in his confidence, knowing that the success of the offense doesn't lie completely on his shoulders.
Yeah, and now we just need Treylon Burks to become Hines Ward, and, you know, they'll be good.
Yeah, that is a question. But like I said, If Tannehill's a post June 1st cut, let's say they don't even trade him because, you know, it's getting to the point where, you know, so many teams have kind of found their answer at the quarterback position. I mean, if you cut him post June 1st, yeah, you're going to take a $9 million hit, but you save $27 million.
Sure.
That's 75% of the contract. So I just think that it should be up for debate. If you're asking me who likely would be better this season, I'm going to say Ryan Tannehill all day long. You know, but what's better for the future? Do you want to get a jump start knowing that you don't have that fifth-year option of Will Levis and see what he's got? And on top of that, he gets to play with Derrick Henry in a run-first offense, and I feel like you can kind of slowly integrate him into the passing game later on. And also, it gives you a little bit more wiggle room with money to be able to go out and get another guy to help bolster this offense and the weapons that they don't currently have.
615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes wants to weigh in on the conversation. Wes, good morning.
Man, good morning. Good morning. I'm kind of with you, Chase. Man, when we first drafted Will Levis, I'm like, okay, well, that solidifies it. It's definitely Tannehill and Derrick Henry's last year running this out. We're going to let Will Levis sit the bench, let him kind of see what Tannehill does and see what he learns from it. But just out of curiosity, did either one of you see what Arthur Smith said? I think it was yesterday. And he basically said that they were so close to having a trade for Ryan Tannehill and that he really wants Tannehill on his team. And when I saw that yesterday, that made me scratch my head a little bit, because I just think if you go back in history and look, the quarterbacks versus the ones that come in and start right off the bat versus the ones that sit, I really, really think Levis needs to sit, and I think the Titans are shooting themselves in the foot if they decide to just let Tannehill go and just wing it with Will Levis. I mean, I just don't think we have the weapons. He didn't have any receivers in Kentucky, which is why he threw all those picks. I mean, who's he going to throw the ball to here? So that's my concern.
Yeah, no, and it's a valid concern. Thanks, Wes. Appreciate the call. I believe that's what everybody's asking themselves. I mean, if Treylon Burks can become what we all hope he can, then that changes this conversation. But he was hurt most of last year. He showed flashes. But I'm going to be honest with you, Junie. I'm tired of talking about Titans players or draft picks that show flashes, because I feel like that's kind of what it's been. You know, who was the running back? Darrington Evans that they drafted. He showed flashes, and then he couldn't get on the field. So, I mean, can Treylon Burks actually be a number one receiver for them? Time will tell. But I think to Wes's point, you know, he doesn't have a lot to work with. Chick Okonkwo could be, but, I mean, that's two. And like you said, if you have a good run game, then maybe that sets something up. But that is going to be the biggest question. We'll continue with your calls. Dan, stay on the line. And there's some text too, 615-737-1025. Do you stick with Tannehill and what you got, or do you move on, try and get another weapon, and turn the keys to the car over to Will Levis? 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Michelle. Junie in for Michelle today, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase McCabe and Junie Riddle in for Michelle Knezovic today, taking your calls and texts. Ryan Tannehill, Will Levis. I have a feeling, Junie, that this is going to be a topic for a very, very long time. We will know it all too well before the summer is over. So it's not going away until they make a move. Agree?
No, definitely agree. I think it's going to be a talking point. I mean, listen, if Malik Willis can be a talking point all through training camp, I think for certain Will Levis will definitely be a talking point all through training camp.
Let's see. Ron says, in my opinion, I believe we're already kind of in rebuild mode without officially saying it. So I believe the Titans should go all out within the budget and get as many players possible to make one more run before we actually call this a rebuild. So I take that as Ron wants to stick with Tannehill.
I think Ron's not really looking at the trajectory of the team. One of the quotes that Tannehill said in his press conference that really stuck out to me was, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, that were here that when I came in 2019 are no longer here. I mean, even Tannehill sees the writing on the wall, you know, patchwork on the offensive line. You lose some key assets on defense. There's still some, you know, injury question marks on that side of the ball as well. I look at this and I brought this up to you, you know, pre-show was look at what, you know, the national media is kind of, you know, projecting the Titans to be at. It is definitely in the bottom quarter of the league. And so I just look at this and I look at all the question marks that they have. And I just wonder, like, where is all of this positivity and all of this one more run, you know, notion coming from? I personally don't see it. I think they reached their peak of trying to go for it in the 2021 season. And, you know, last year they took a step back and injuries had to do with that. And it's just these players are another year older. And I look at that and I say, you know, it might be time to start really prepping and looking towards the future rather than trying to absolutely go for it this year.
615-737-1025. Dan wants to weigh in on Ryan Tannehill. Dan, what's up?
Hey, you know, first of all, I'm pro Will Levis. I think he got he's drafted in the second round. I think he's got a high ceiling from everything that I hear. And there's so many arguments being made that to me don't hold water. The whole argument that you guys just made that you know you don't get the fifth year option. Well, look at the money you're saving in the first 4 years of his contract. It's going to compensate you for that. So if he is the man and he turns out to be the man, then you've got, let's say you don't play the first year, which I would be an advocate for playing Ryan Tannehill. I think everybody says we've got a better chance of winning with Ryan Tannehill right now than Will Levis. Now, again, we don't know, but that's what most people would tell you. That's what I think. And so let him sit. They say his psyche is one of the most fragile things about Will Levis. You don't want to crush him by putting him in a situation where he's going to get wrecked every Sunday. And then, you know, you say, well, let's do a run-heavy offense and don't give him the full keys. Well, that didn't work out too well for our last project. So I think the best thing we can do for now and the future is to let Will Levis learn, let Ryan Tannehill play, and be the best we can be right now, hoping that Will Levis grows and does become that person for the future. And I don't think to just crater this year to get a draft choice two or three people higher, I don't think it's worth the payoff there. Thank
all right,
you
Dan.
Guys for and I'll thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Good call. I mean, look, Junie, I don't know if you've heard me say this, but I am a huge proponent of, I don't care where you draft a guy at quarterback, let him sit for at least a year, because I think that there are more examples of guys sitting and having success than, you know, you do. You obviously have some that are the exception to the rule that they start from day one and they have successful careers. But, you know, I know, like, when Floyd drafted Steve McNair, the plan all along was 2 years, because Steve was, I think, similar to Anthony Richardson. He wasn't ready at all. They sat him for 2 years, and then he had a very good career. Now, and you're a Steelers fan, Roethlisberger was a different story, and he had to come in because of injury, but it ended up working out. And so they kept it going, and he had a Hall of Fame career. So, I mean, it can obviously go either way, but I believe that it couldn't hurt Will Levis if he just sat and held the clipboard for a year, similar to what I know they wanted to do with Malik Willis, but they were unable to do that.
I just look at, you know, Steve McNair coming out of Alcorn State and then Malik Willis coming out of Liberty as two completely different, you know, quarterback prospects. And I look at a guy like Will Levis that has all the, you know, physical intangibles to be a really good starting quarterback in this league. And he played in the SEC. And I just look at the history of quarterbacks that have panned out. And when I look at where they came from, they're not coming from your traditional powerhouse universities. And Will Levis played at a basketball school. We all know Kentucky is known for its basketball program. And really up until the last couple of years with Mark Stoops, they've been the bottom of the SEC. And this past year, you know, Will Levis lost three starting offensive linemen to the NFL. He lost numerous receivers. All true freshman receivers were starting with him that, you know, didn't really have, like, the high recruiting upside that he had, like, with a Wandale Robinson the year prior. And I just look at Will Levis as a more refined pro prospect than that. I agree with you to the sense that, yeah, it could definitely do him service to sit that first year. It's definitely not going to hurt him. It's not. I mean, it's only going to help him. I just see as a guy like Will Levis as he's not necessarily the quarterback that is as much of a developmental project as people make him out to be. I just think that, you know, the level of competition and the discrepancies between an Alabama, a Tennessee, a Georgia compared to the talent level at a Kentucky, and not to mention, you know, the injuries and the new OC and all the things that we've been talking about for weeks and weeks about this guy, that he is more equipped to go through adversity than some of these other quarterbacks. I think that a guy like Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, you know, they went to worse rosters on paper, and they also had the best talent in all of college football. I just think that them going to teams that aren't going to have, you know, that are probably going to have some of the worst talent, especially, you know, Carolina moving off D.J. Moore to move up and get him, that it's going to take a while for these guys to adjust. Will Levis is used to battling with less talent around him, and I think that that is going to help him adjust in the league. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think that when we look at where the Tennessee Titans are in this transitional period, I would just hate it if Will Levis came in and let's say he has a really good camp and shows a lot of promise, and they end up going with Tannehill, and Will Levis never gets the opportunity to play with Derrick Henry when Derrick Henry is still a perennial top five quarterback or top five running back in this league. And I just think that that could really help him. And for me personally, with the team I grew up watching, that is what really helped Big Ben get going. Like, you look at Big Ben's stats his first couple years, they were not good at all. Like, throwing more picks than touchdowns. I think he had 15 touchdowns his rookie year. I mean, nothing that's going to, you know, pop off the page. And I just look at his opportunity to play with Derrick Henry in this new offensive system, and I just think that that could really help him get eased into the process. And he's super cheap, and I think that moving off Tannehill could potentially help this team. It's a good argument. I'm not saying that either or would be bad, but for me, when I kind of listed them out, I was seeing more pros for starting Will Levis than cons, and that's just what I came up with.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I just go back to, and I think it's because it's recency bias, and I saw it firsthand. But if I could go back in time, and this organization's in a better situation, and they sit Marcus Mariota for a year, because think about all the things with Mariota. He didn't play a lot under center. Okay, they played a lot out of the shotgun at Oregon. That was a big concern, and you saw that once he got to the league. If he could have sat for a year, what would his career have been? Could he have actually been the guy that everybody thought he was going to be? We'll never know. And it very well could have turned out the same. But it's hard for me not to think that way with certain quarterbacks. And then now that they're faced with this situation again, when they have a guy. And the big difference is when Mariota was drafted by the Titans, the Titans didn't have a Ryan Tannehill. They didn't have a veteran starter that you knew you could just put in place and go with it like they do now. So that is one of the reasons that I keep kind of harping on this.
And that's a great point, you know, bringing up Marcus, how he probably could have used that adjustment time. My counter argument to that is Will Levis played in this system. You know, I would say out of all of these quarterbacks coming out this year, he was under center more than all of them. And that was brought up in the little documentary series. I can't think of the name of it right now, but it was with Will Levis at the Peyton Manning camp that they kind of did, and they kind of went through and did a whole 30-minute bit with him on that. And he really talked about, you know, being under center and really selling the play action and kind of learning from Peyton Manning and doing stuff, you know, similar to that. And I just think that when you play in a pro-style offense and especially the same kind of system that the Titans are running now, I think that that kind of alleviates some of the adjustment period than, say, a guy that played in a spread, you know, kind of motion offense that Mariota did when he was playing at Oregon.
Yeah. And so, again, this conversation is going to continue. It's going to evolve. That is the fun part about it. 615-737-1025. But I want to get into this power ranking that Fox Sports has, because you sent it to us this morning, Junie, and when I read through it, I was like, oh, wow, this is where they have the Titans? We will discuss that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, Junie in for Michelle today. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe and Junie Riddle in today for Michelle Knezovic. She'll be back on Monday as we are discussing the Titans and Tannehill and all those fun things. We'll have Aerosmith tickets to give away later in the show as well. That concert going on sale in about 15 minutes. So be on the lookout for that. We've had some fun this week with that, Junie. I don't know if you heard our best concert story segment the other day, but that was an all-timer.
Oh, I did. And listen, I don't know if that guy made that story up, because that is one hell of a story, Chase. But if that's true, dude, I don't know how you don't go up and talk to that woman and be like, hey, I need a test. We need to go to the doctor right now. Do you remember me? You know me? Let me help you out. That could be mine. So
yeah.
That was crazy.
That was certainly one for the ages. But you sent us this morning, Fox Sports did. We all love power rankings. It's list season. That's where we're at now. And they did a post-draft power ranking for the NFL of all the teams and where they sit right now. Number one, of course, is the Kansas City Chiefs. No surprise there. And then the Eagles at number two. I don't really have any pushback on that. The two teams that met in the Super Bowl. And this is from David Hellman, who's actually a Cowboys insider, but writes for Fox Sports. But he goes with the early but not too early power rankings. Kansas City, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Buffalo, San Francisco is the top five. Baltimore, Jets, Cowboys, I don't know about that, Dolphins, and Jags is the top ten. The top five, I don't really disagree with. The second half of the top ten, I'm not so sure.
Oh yeah, Ravens are super overhyped. I think the Cowboys are a little
Cowboys
overhyped.
Are overhyped. I'll say it. No, you're 100%.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say like, why are the Jets in front of the Cowboys? I was about to like, Chase.
I mean, I get why the Jets are in there, because they got Rodgers, and now they're basically signing everybody that ever played receiver for the Packers. So,
well, when all your top offensive players are coming off their rookie year, it gives you a lot of wiggle room to do that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, look, I if Rodgers, if his heart is in it and he stays healthy, I think that offense is going to be pretty good.
The fact that he's already in the facility like working with those guys, and he hadn't really spent that time early in the offseason in Green Bay, I think it shows you that he's pretty interested. I think he's there to work. I really do.
The best thing for the Jets and for Jets fans is the fact that Aaron Rodgers thinks so highly of himself, and he can't stand the fact that, number one, I think he said he was 90% retired, but he wouldn't want to have to share the Hall of Fame spotlight with Brady, so he came back. And then now he wants to be like Brady and go to another team and win the Super Bowl in his first year. I definitely think that and add on top of that, he can say like, oh, Brett went to the Jets and he didn't win. I'll go to the Jets and I'll win.
Well, considering the parallels to their career, that would definitely kind of put him over the top. And also, if you win a Super Bowl for the New York Jets, you're the king of New York. I mean, what better place to win a Super Bowl, honestly, for such a hungry fan base. So, good for Aaron. And, hopefully they're really good, because if they're really good, that's just another really engaging team and adds more controversy to this stacked AFC.
Yeah. So, and then Chargers, Seahawks, Detroit, which you and I think are on the same page with Detroit. I'm like, just watch out.
They are a top three roster on paper in the NFC, in my opinion.
Just see what happens with them. Giants, Vikings, Saints, Panthers, Browns, Steelers, Packers. That's the top 20. Broncos, Bears, Commanders, Rams, Raiders, Patriots. Still haven't gotten somewhere. Colts, Bucks, Falcons, Texans. That's 30. And then finally, the Tennessee Titans at 31, Arizona, the last team in the league at 32. 31 in these power rankings for the Tennessee Titans.
Listen, I've tried to, like, give a reality check to the Titans fan base because I think a lot of fans here locally think they're going to be a lot better than what they are. I think anybody that's claiming that the Titans are going to have a chance to win 10 games this year, I just flat out disagree with Chase. But saying they're the 31st team in the NFL is a huge stretch, especially like you mentioned, that the writer is a Cowboys guy. And you would think that after watching what the depleted, second team roster of the Titans did to the Cowboys and how they really competed in that game, that, you know, a Cowboys writer might, you know, have a little bit more of a positive outlook on the Tennessee Titans. But no, they put them at 31st. And I don't think the Titans are going to be good. I don't think they're a playoff team this year. But I definitely don't think they're the second worst team in the entire NFL. I think that's a little bit overblown.
I mean, I still would take this roster over Houston's. I mean, Houston is a giant question mark. I mean, maybe Stroud is the answer, and obviously they got Anderson too. But I don't know. I don't think I'd put them over Houston, Atlanta. I think all these teams like Colts, Bucks, Falcons, Texans, Titans, you can kind of just put giant question marks and move on.
You said the Falcons. I think the Falcons on paper are a better team than the Titans this year.
Yeah, I do too. I just think they don't know about Ritter.
Yeah,
they do, and Ritter, they realize they messed up and they need to move on. But I still think Ritter's got a chance to do something. I need to see more. Well, I liked Ritter.
They got a lot of young offensive pieces. I mean, their offensive line is really good at run blocking. So I feel like with especially drafting Robinson in the top 10, it's going to be heavy him. He's also going to be a factor in the passing game. You get Kyle Pitts and Drake London in the first rounds the 2 years prior to that. So they got a good offensive core around them. I think people are sleeping on the Falcons. But to your point, I definitely look at the Texans as a team that shouldn't be ranked over the Titans coming in. I'd say the one thing the Texans have over the Titans is offensive line. They've really done a lot to solidify that. But I'm looking at, you know, the Colts. Maybe they could be better. I think they definitely have to start Minshew this year to be better. I don't think Anthony Richardson year one would be better than the Titans. But still, man, I'm still looking at a lot of these teams, and the Titans aren't far off from 31. And this made me kind of go through, and I wanted to look at a bunch of different power rankings. This kind of opened my eyes. So I went on this whole splurge.
This is a rabbit hole.
I went down this whole splurge of going to different sites and seeing where they have the Titans at. So CBS Sports with Pete Prisco had the Titans ranked 21st, and this is all post-draft. So 21st, which that was the highest rated power rankings post-draft that I could find that the Titans were at. Bleacher Report had them at 25th, and that was kind of a full staff thing. USA Today has them at 26th by Nate Davis. The NFL website had them at 24th, and that was Dan Hanses. And then Sporting News had them at 28th. So it's a pretty high consensus nationally that the Titans are in the bottom third of the league this year on paper, of course.
Yeah. but it's also when you this with power rankings this time of year too, like that's why I called it a rabbit hole. That's where you as a fan, that's where you get yourself in trouble because you can just get yourself incensed with all this. Because I can tell you that the only teams that I would say I would 100% agree with on this particular ranking that we're looking at would probably be the top five, and then Arizona at 32. That's probably it.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, these rankings are never going to be accurate. A lot of these guys are kind of central to the team that they cover, and they don't really know as much about, you know, teams outside of their market. But it just kind of goes to show you that the consensus about this Titans team. And my question to you is, Chase, is like where would you put the Titans at if you had to do like a rankings? You don't have to give an exact number because I'm not expecting you to list them off just, you know, off the jump. But do you have them inside the top 20 of the NFL? Like, do you think
no? They're probably somewhere in the 20. I mean, look, they're not. I don't know if they're not 31, but they're not far. I mean, they're. I'd probably have them like 25.
I was going to say like 24, 23, but I'd
yeah,
say
somewhere in there.
Somewhere in that range. And I think the Titans are definitely better than, you know, a lot of those bottom tier NFC teams. Like, I think they'll be better than the Packers. I think they'll be better, you know, well, I say that, but then I'm sitting here looking. And, I mean, I don't know about the Rams. I mean, the Rams are a big question mark, but, you know, they get Aaron Donald, Kupp, and Stafford back. The Bears, maybe. I mean, they've made a ton of moves this offseason. They could be better than the Bears, but
the Bears are going to be interesting to watch. Like, they're either going to continue to just be what they are, or they might actually shock some people.
I think they're a boom or bust, and especially with the Packers going down, and the Vikings aren't going to be as good of a team. They lost a bunch of pieces this offseason. But it just poses the question is if the Titans are going to be this bad, then what is the point of really holding on to letting Tannehill play and try to go after this final run? That's my premise of all of this is like, why are we so gung-ho on trying to make this final run with this team when really not a lot of people are giving them a chance? And I think when you look at the roster on paper, you know, at the beginning of last year, I would say at the beginning of the season last year, that it was better than what it is now. And obviously with all the injuries and the cuts that have been made and all that stuff has changed that. But I just see the trajectory of this team, Chase, and I just don't see how they compete this year.
Yeah. A couple of texters real quick. Rob says Titans are not a worse team than they were last year. That's interesting to think about. But we'll continue this discussion. But coming up next, yesterday Taylor Lewan made his lawsuit official. We'll give you a little more information and talk about that on Chase and Michelle, Junie in for Michelle today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.